Chapter 29. The Crucifixion of Jesus. Jesus, the precious Son of God, was given to the people to be crucified. The disciples and many believers joined the crowd that followed Jesus to Calvary. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there. She was helped by John, the beloved disciple. Mary's heart was filled with terrible sadness. Mary and the disciples were hoping that the situation would change. They were hoping Jesus would use his power to appear before his enemies as the Son of God. Mary lost hope as she remembered Jesus speaking of the very things that were happening to him. The cross that had been made for Barabbas was near the gate of Pilate's house. Barabbas's cross was put on the wounded, bleeding shoulders of Jesus. Two thieves who had joined Barabbas in crime also had to carry their crosses. These men would be crucified with Jesus. Jesus carried his cross only a short distance before he fell, fainting, to the ground. Jesus was weak from loss of blood, pain, and lack of rest. When Jesus was able to stand up, the cross was put on his shoulders again. He was forced to continue with his heavy load. Again, Jesus went only a few steps, then fell as a dead man to the ground. The soldiers thought Jesus was dead, but after a while, Jesus was able to get up again. The priests and rulers felt no pity for Christ, but they realized he could not carry the cross farther. While the priests and rulers were talking about what to do, a man named Simon appeared. Simon, who was from Cyrene, was coming from the opposite direction when he met the crowd. Someone grabbed Simon and made him carry the cross of Jesus. The sons of Simon were followers of Jesus, but Simon had not accepted Jesus. A great crowd followed Jesus to Calvary. Many of the people were laughing and making fun of Jesus, but some people were weeping. People whom Jesus had healed and raised from the dead told of his wonderful works. These people demanded to know why Jesus was being treated as a criminal. Only a few days before, many of the people had joyfully sung praises to Jesus. They had waved palm branches and had welcomed Jesus as their king when he rode into Jerusalem. Many of the people had shouted praises to Jesus because it was the popular thing to do. Now they shouted, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Nailed to the cross. Jesus and the two thieves arrived at the place where they were to be crucified. Jesus and the thieves were tied to their crosses. The two thieves struggled with the soldiers, who stretched them upon the crosses, but Jesus did not resist. Jesus' mother watched in deep sorrow, hoping that Jesus would work a miracle to save himself. She saw his hands stretched upon the cross. Jesus' dear hands had always brought blessings. His hands had reached out many times to heal suffering people. Now the hammer and nails were brought. The nails were driven through Jesus' tender flesh and fastened to the cross. As Jesus was nailed to the cross, the heartbroken disciples took the fainting mother of Jesus from the cruel scene. Jesus did not complain. His face was pale and calm, but great drops of sweat stood out on his forehead. No pitying hands wiped the sweat from Jesus' face. He heard no words of mercy. He heard no loyal words to comfort his human heart. Jesus suffered alone. While the soldiers were doing their fearful work and Jesus was suffering terrible agony, Jesus prayed for his enemies. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Luke 23, verse 24. Jesus' prayer for his enemies included the whole world. Jesus was praying for every sinner who would live until the end of time. After Jesus was nailed to the cross was lifted by strong men. Then the men dropped the cross roughly into a hole, causing Jesus great pain. The behavior of the leaders was terrible. Priests, rulers, and scribes forgot that they had been chosen for sacred work. These men joined the crowd in making fun of the dying Son of God and laughing at him. The priests and rulers said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." Luke 23, verse 37, RSV. Some of the priests rudely said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save." Mark 15, verse 31. Leaders of the temple, hardened soldiers, the wicked thief on the cross, and the evil and cruel people all insulted Christ. The thieves who were crucified with Jesus suffered the same as Jesus. The pain made one thief more hard and rebellious. He spoke as rudely as the priests did to Jesus, saying, "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." Luke 23, verse 39, NIV. The other thief was not a hardened criminal. When he heard his fellow thief's insulting words, he asked, "Don't you fear God? You received the same punishment he did. Ours, however, is only right, because we are getting what we deserve for what we did. But he has done no wrong." Luke 23, verse 40-41. As this thief felt love and sympathy for Jesus, heavenly understanding came into his mind. In the wounded, suffering Jesus on the cross, the thief saw his Savior, his only hope. The thief asked in humble faith, "Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom." Jesus answered quickly with compassion and love, "Truly, I say to you today, you will be with me in paradise." Luke 23, verse 43. The angels were amazed as they saw the depths of the love of Jesus. Jesus was suffering the greatest agony of mind and body, but he thought only of others. Jesus encouraged the thief to believe. Jesus showed a love for people that is stronger than death. Many of the people who saw what happened at the cross later became strong believers in Jesus because of what they saw. Jesus' enemies were eagerly waiting for Jesus to die. They thought Jesus' death would stop forever all talk of his divine power and his miracles. These enemies were happy, thinking that they would not have to worry about Jesus' influence anymore. The heartless, no pity, soldiers who had nailed Jesus to the cross divided his clothes among themselves. They argued about who would get his robe that had been made all in one piece. Finally, the soldiers decided to throw dice to decide who would get this piece of clothing. This scene had been correctly described hundreds of years before it happened. "A gang of evil men is around me. Like a pack of dogs, they close in on me. They tear at my hands and feet. They gamble for my clothes and divide them among themselves." Psalm 22, verse 16, 18. Jesus' concern for his mother. Jesus looked at the crowd who had come to watch him die. At the foot of the cross, Jesus saw John supporting Mary, Jesus' mother. Mary had come back to the cross, for she could not stay away from her son. Jesus looked into the troubled face of his mother. Then he looked at John. Jesus said to his mother, "He, John, is your son." Then he, Jesus, said to the disciple, "She is your mother." John 19, verse 26, 27. John understood Jesus' words. John took Mary to his home, and from that time on, he lovingly cared for Mary. Jesus gave us a perfect example of loving concern for parents. Jesus was suffering terrible pain, but he did not forget his mother. He provided for her future care. The work of Jesus' earthly life was nearly completed. Jesus' tongue was dry, and he said, "I thirst." Some sour wine was placed on a sponge and lifted to Jesus' lips. But when he tasted the wine, he refused to drink it. Wine. Jesus, the God of life and glory, was dying in order to redeem man. Jesus took man's sin, so he had to bear the Father's anger as man's substitute. The heavy weight of sin broke Jesus' heart. All our sins were put on Jesus. Jesus had to be considered a sinner to save us. Jesus would redeem us from the curse of disobeying God's law. The guilt of every person since Adam pressed down on Jesus' heart. God's terrible hatred of sin filled Jesus with dread. Jesus could not see his Father's face when he was suffering the greatest agony. We can never fully understand Jesus' sorrow when he felt his Father turn away from him. Jesus' suffering speaks to each of us, saying, "Because Jesus loved you so much, Jesus allowed these wicked crimes to be put upon him. For you, Jesus gained victory over death and opened the gates of heaven and everlasting life." Every drop of blood that fell from Jesus' head, his hands, his feet, tells us of his love. Terrible suffering filled Jesus as the Father hid his face from him. Jesus. Jesus suffered for us so that we might live in heaven forever. Jesus had calmed the angry sea by his word. He had walked on water. Jesus had made devils tremble and disease leave people with his touch. He had raised the dead to life. He made the blind see. Jesus, our precious Savior, had done all these miracles. Now, Jesus was offering himself on the cross as the last sacrifice for us. Jesus took our punishment and became sin for us. Satan was at the cross torturing Jesus with fierce temptations. Sin is hateful to Jesus. When the sins of the world were piled on Jesus, he suffered terribly under the weight of those sins. Jesus' humanity trembled in that fearful hour. The angels were amazed at Jesus' mental suffering. Jesus' mental suffering was so great that he hardly felt physical pain. The angels covered their faces from the terrible sight. Nature expressed sympathy with its insulted and dying creator. The sun refused to shine on the terrible scene. The sun's full, bright rays were lighting the earth at noon. Then suddenly, the sun could not be seen. Complete darkness covered the area around the cross. The darkness lasted 3 hours. At 3 o'clock, the frightening darkness was lifted from where the people were, but darkness still covered Jesus. Angry lightning seemed to be striking at Jesus as he hung on the cross. Then Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Mark 15, verse 34, Robitsvrst. It is finished. Silently the people watched for the end of this terrible sight. Again the sun shone brightly, but the cross still was in darkness. Suddenly the darkness covering the cross was removed. In a clear voice that seemed to sound throughout creation, Jesus cried, "It is finished. Father, in your hands I place my spirit." John 19, verse 30. Mark 15, verse 37, 10 verse 7. A light circled the cross. The face of the Savior shone with a glory as bright as the sun. Then Jesus bowed his head and died. At the moment Jesus died, some of the priests were doing their work in the temple. The priests were standing before the curtain that separated the holy place, room, from the most holy place, room. Suddenly the priests felt the earth shake under them. The strong, beautiful curtain that was made new each year was torn from top to bottom. A hand without blood tore the temple curtain. The same hand had written on the walls of King Belshazzar's palace. Jesus did not die until he finished the work he came to do. With his last breath, Jesus cried, "It is finished." Angels rejoiced to hear these words. They knew that the great plan of salvation had succeeded. There was joy in heaven because now the sons of Adam could be saved. If people chose to live a life of obedience to God, they could be brought finally into God's presence. Satan was defeated and knew that his kingdom was lost. The burial. John did not know what to do with the body of his dearly loved master. John hated the thought of Jesus' body being handled by rough soldiers who did not care. John wondered what he could do to keep Jesus from being buried in a dishonored place. John knew that the Jewish rulers would give him no favors. He had little hope of help from Pilate. In John's time of need, Joseph and Nicodemus came to help. These men were members of the ruling Sanhedrin. They knew Pilate. Both men had wealth and influence. Joseph and Nicodemus determined that the body of Jesus should have an honorable burial. Joseph went boldly to Pilate. Joseph begged Pilate for the body of Jesus. Pilate ordered that Jesus' body should be given to Joseph. John was still troubled about the burial of Jesus. But Joseph returned with Pilate's order. Nicodemus expected that Joseph would be given Jesus' body, so he came with about 100 pounds of costly mixture of myrrh and aloes. The most honored person in all Jerusalem could not have been given more respect in death. Gently and reverently, with their own hands, Jesus' friends removed his body from the cross. Their tears fell fast as they looked at Jesus' cruelly torn body. Carefully, they washed away the stain of blood. Joseph owned a new tomb near Calvary. The tomb was cut into a rock. Joseph was saving this tomb for himself, but now he prepared it, his tomb, for Jesus. Jesus' body was carefully wrapped in a linen sheet, along with the spices that Nicodemus had brought. The three men carried Jesus' body to the tomb. No person had ever been laid in this tomb before. There, the three men straightened Jesus' mangled legs and folded his bruised hands over his heart. The Galilean women came to be sure that all had been done that could be done for the body of this beloved teacher. The women watched as the heavy stone was rolled against the entrance of the tomb. There the Son of God was left at rest. The women were the last people to leave the cross, and they were the last to leave the tomb of Jesus. The rulers had carried out their devilish purpose in putting Jesus to death, but they were still worried, and they were still jealous of Jesus. The leaders had experienced the joy of revenge, but they were in constant fear that Jesus' dead body would come back to life. The next day, which was a Sabbath, the chief priests and the Pharisees met with Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember that while that liar was still alive, he, Jesus, said, 'I will be raised to life 3 days later.' Give orders, then, for his tomb to be carefully guarded until the third day, so that his disciples will not be able to go and steal the body, and then tell the people that he was raised from death. This last lie would be even worse than the first one. Matthew 27, verse 62 to 64. Pilate agreed with the Jewish leaders. He did not want Jesus to rise again with power and punish the guilty people who had destroyed him. So Pilate put a group of Roman soldiers around the tomb as the priests asked. "Take a guard," Pilate told them. "Go and make the tomb as secure as you can." So they left and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and leaving the guard on watch. Matthew 27, verse 65-66.
The Jews realized the advantage of having a guard around the tomb. They put a seal of authority on the stone that closed the tomb. The stone could not be moved without breaking the seal. Everything possible was done to keep the disciples from stealing the body of Jesus. But all the planning only made the triumph of the resurrection more complete. The seal helped to prove the truth that Jesus Christ had risen from the grave.